The lions roar. 1 Peter 5, 6-11. We're going to be reading from the New American Standard Bible generally throughout our thoughts this morning. 1 Peter 5, 6-11. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you at the proper time, casting your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Be of sober spirit, be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. But resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same experiences of suffering are being accomplished by your brethren who are in the world. And after you have suffered for a little while, the God of grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To him be dominion forever and ever. Amen. This scripture text is very familiar to all of us, maybe almost overly familiar, because it provides us with a comfort and a warning and a direction. Personally, I was drawn back to this text recently due to, and many of you know about my recent experiences with being briefly hospitalized due to blood clots in my lungs. Today's discourse will consist of observations regarding the application of scripture, suggestions regarding the practicality of standing against Satan, and also four specific personal testimonies about resisting Satan's roar. So this is a mixture this morning of scriptural lessons and a personal testimony. And I will tell you that parts of this testimony, I tend to get emotional, so just bear with me on that and see if we can control ourselves as we go through this. First of all, let's talk about the lion's roar. I found this to be very fascinating, a lot of learning. This is from wildexplained.com. Roaring and making sounds are a vital part of a lion's interaction with each other and other animals. A lion's roar can be heard up to 5 miles away. They use different types of roars to communicate different things. While a fierce roar is a warning sign to intruders, they are using other types of sounds with their pride, their members, to communicate. The question in this wildexplained.com, do lions roar when hunting? Quote, we have seen in the movies that lions roar when hunting. Like many things in Hollywood, this is just a dramatization. Now, I was shocked by that because I figured, you know, the lion roars, it freezes the prey because that's what I always thought, and then it pounces. Not so. Just a dramatization has no connection with real life. Lions don't roar when hunting. And then a little bit more from scienceabc.com. Male lions roar for various reasons. A lion may roar to scare off an intruder or another lion or a predator. It could also roar to warn its pride of imminent danger. So the question, brethren, is if lions don't roar when hunting, what does the scripture mean? It says a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. So let's look into that. The word for devour actually means to drink down or to gulp entirely, literally or figuratively. Let me give you two examples. Matthew 23:24. This is King James. These are both King James, these examples. Ye blind guides which strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. Jesus talking to the Pharisees. 1 Corinthians 15:54. So that was a negative use of this devouring. A positive use of this devouring. 1 Corinthians 15:54. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, they shall be brought to pass. Then it shall be brought to pass everything that is written. Death is swallowed up in victory. That's the word for devour. So seeking someone to devour is not looking for food. It's not looking for a meal. Seeking someone to devour is consuming or obliterating something. That's what it means according to scripture. And that changes the meaning of Satan lurking about, prowling around like a roaring lion. So why does Satan fiercely roar at us? Why? It's because we follow Jesus. And if you notice, I'm wearing my lion tie today. And I want to be very specific. This is the lion of the tribe of Judah. Okay? This is not the other one. Okay? This is the one we follow. All right? So just to be clear. So Satan roars fiercely at us because we follow Jesus, who came to take the kingdoms of the world from him. Let's take a quick look at Luke 4, verses 5 through 8. This is Jesus being tempted of Satan in the wilderness right after his baptism. And the scripture says, and he led him up and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to him, I will give you all this domain and its glory, for it has been handed to me, and I give it to whomever I wish. Now remember that phrase, I will give you all this domain and its glory. We're going to come back to that later on. Therefore, if you worship me, Satan says to Jesus, it shall be yours. You can have it. Jesus answered, it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Brethren, Satan sees us as predators, as intruders on his territory, because we serve the lion of the tribe of Judah. We are walking in his territory. We are walking on his turf. Lions roar. A little bit more about the physical roar. It's said to be as loud as 114 decibels. What does that mean? You know what a gas-powered lawnmower sounds like? How loud that is? Put 25 of them together in the room. And that's what a lion's roar sounds like. The physiology of a lion's roar is fascinating. We don't have time for that today. But just understand, it goes up to 114 decibels. At 120 decibels, it's possible to have hearing damage. So we are talking about an amazingly penetrating sound. It's been said that if you're in the vicinity, general vicinity, and I don't mean this close, but a half a mile, you feel it, the vibration of the roar in your chest. That's how powerful and intimidating the lion's roar is. So Satan's roar is saying, plug your ears, because I'm going to yell. Okay? His roar is saying, get off my turf. Get out of here. This is mine. That's what Satan's roar is saying. It's about territory. It's about the kingdoms of this world. That's what it's about. Let's go back to, to get off his turf, if we were to listen, it would be to compromise our following of Jesus. It would be to rationalize our decisions, to give in to the hardships of life, to cave to the pressures of becoming spiritually mature. Because this is where we're planted. So Satan getting us off of his turf would mean he neutralizes us as threats to his dominion. And you understand unequivocally, brethren, we, because of God's spirit in us, are threats to the dominion of Satan. As a matter of fact, we are the final threats to his dominion. And I'm telling you this because it has occurred to me how big and how serious this is. Back to wildexplained.com. Just one more time for a little bit of background. So about hunting, how do lions hunt? The primary way is by stalking its prey. A lioness, and lionesses do most of the hunting, would stay hidden for as long as possible and then approach the target. When they get close enough, they would charge and chase the prey. The secondary tactic is reserved for hunting larger prey, prey that's too big for just one lion. Now, a group of lions, you know what a group of lions is called, right? It's called a pride. Kind of interesting, I think, in this example. Because here's what happens. When the prey is too big, the pride would corner the animal and come at it from all different sides. In this scenario, male lions also join the hunt. Brethren, Satan's pride is very powerful. Ephesians 6, 10 to 12. Finally, be strong in the Lord and the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God so you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places. It's more than just Satan. Satan's pride will surround and attack. And the lion's roar is to warn you, get away from what's mine. Make no mistake. The powerful and paralyzing and fear-invoking roar of Satan comes in many, many, many different ways. In our theme scripture, we're given four ways to prepare for his roar and his attack. Back to 1 Peter 5, it says, therefore, humble yourselves. That's the first point. Under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at the proper time. Cast all your anxiety on him. That's the second point, because he cares for you. Be sober in spirit is the third point. And be on the alert. We talked about being awake yesterday. Be on the alert. Those are the four points. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to consume, not to eat, but to destroy. I want to share four experiences that Sister Tricia and I have gone through within the last 7 years. I'm going to tell these stories from my personal perspective. If you talk to Sister Tricia, you'll get a different perspective. But this is how these experiences affected me personally. And I want to lay out my struggles and lessons from each of these experiences. And I believe these experiences represent some of Satan's roars in our life. So it gets personal. And brethren, you all have Satan roaring experiences in your lives. So this is to touch you with how he has attempted to make us afraid. And, you know, and some of the ways that he's been focused on shutting down us from the marvelous opportunities that we have in service of the Lord, the truth, and the brethren. I want to share these experiences. The experiences are going to be in chronological order. And those four points that we just mentioned from 1 Peter are not going to be in order. Each one's going to have a different application to each experience. And I just want to mention that these are not experiences that came from within, but these are experiences that came to us from outside of our life and came into our lives. These are not all of the experiences of our past 7 years, but these are just simply four experiences that, to be honest with you, when I was laying in the hospital bed just a month ago with these blood clots that suddenly came up out of nowhere, I started really thinking about everything because it was this close. And it occurred to me after having a conversation several years ago with actually dear brother Larry McClellan about Satan's influences that Satan is after us. Here's the first experience. And we're going to, the theme for this is from verse 7, casting all your anxiety on him. Our first lion's roar experience began in October of 2015. Sister Tricia had worked at a bank for many years, and in October of 2015, she was the victim of a bank robbery. She actually handled it very well and put things into a good perspective. Moving on with life. 13 days later, she was robbed again by the same person. This robbery was more personal because he went into her workspace to rob the money from the bank. And what happened as a result is that she suffered from PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder. This disorder, it locks your mind into the fight, freeze, or flight mode, and you can't think outside of it. It changes the physiology of actually how your brain works. Getting out of this requires therapy, very specific therapy, to return your mind to its normal functionality. Well, at the time, we didn't know she had PTSD. And she began to emotionally unravel as the PTSD unknowingly plunged her into this world where she could not find her footing. She tried and she tried and was finally told by her doctor that she couldn't even go back to work, that she needed help. Well, you know, brethren, we're people of faith. And, you know, we look at our lives and say, well, faith can firmly trust him come what may, and we want faith to work. Well, here's what happened. Day by day, I watched her fall apart. she tried to shine that beacon of faith because she knows and she's lived her faith her whole life, but it wouldn't shine. She couldn't get it. She couldn't find it. Satan's roar was very loud in my ears at that time. And this was a period of time. She was fading away. In front of my eyes, brethren, day by day. I was losing her. And I was powerless. I didn't know what to do. And doubt and fear for her were rampant and in me. And if you know me, I'm pretty stubborn. But in me, they were creeping in on every side. And I began to feel a lack of surety in God's providence because I couldn't find a path. And you know, sometimes when it's really hard, just show me the path. It may be crowded. It may be overrun with all kinds of stuff. Just show me the path. I couldn't find it. Well, after a time, period of time, Sister Tricia did find the strength to get the help that she needed. The counseling and therapy slowly put her mind back into its proper functionality, and she reemerged once again as herself, though now stronger for it all. It took about 4 years for Sister Tricia to be able to finally let go of the last pieces of that PTSD. There was baggage, and she finally was able to be free from it. That was a trial. It was a learning experience. And Satan, and incidentally, let me back up. That was the providence of God. And we have no doubt about it being God's providence. But Satan will seek to take the trials that God gives us through his providence and turn them into tragedies, life-altering tragedies. And there's the difference. Satan sometimes aims his roar at our hearts, our very core. Sometimes there's victory and sometimes our hearts are crushed by unfathomable tragedy. Either way, there's a question. And I want to pause here because you know what? Sometimes there's not a happily ever after in our lives, brethren. Okay? For us, the Lord gave us the ability to continue to move on and for her to be able to recover. Sometimes it doesn't happen that way. Sometimes we get into a situation and it ends badly. Whether it ends badly or it ends with you've got more time and more opportunity, the same question will always exist. The same question exists. Either way, the question is, am I holding my anxiety or am I wholeheartedly handing it over to God through Christ? What am I doing with the anxiety that comes from this experience? If I'm holding it, Satan's roar is in your ears and making you keep it because you're afraid. 1 Peter 5:7, once again, casting all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. So it's not necessarily the what of the experience. It's the how am I responding? And am I falling prey to the frightening threat of the roar of Satan? Let's move further in our theme text to after the warning of the roar and after the warning of the war and being devoured, 1 Peter 5:9. It says, but resist him firm in your faith, knowing that the same experiences of suffering are being accomplished in your brethren who are in the world. Take a breath and understand what that means. It means that whatever you're going through, the body of Christ is going through. And that's encouraging. Because there is safety in numbers, as long as those numbers are those of like precious faith. A little bit of perspective here. Satan's roar is a ferocious warning to leave his territory. It's a ferocious challenge to those who follow the lion of the tribe of Judah. It's a threat that if we don't leave his territory or bow to his authority, he will overwhelm and consume us. That's what the roar is about. Leave, conform, or my pride will surround and destroy you. That's what the roar is telling you. You think you're afraid now? Wait. That's what the roar is telling you. The Brotherhood's overcoming of the ferocity of Satan, it's inspiring. It's strengthening. But we can't get the strength unless we fellowship, unless we share our experiences, unless we become vulnerable to one another. That strength is not going to help us. So brethren, work at that. Work at sharing. Satan's roar lurks in the experiences of all our lives. Three words for you. And I'm going to be saying these words a lot. Stand your ground. That's what this is about. Stand your ground. For the ground on which we stand is holy. It is sanctified by the Lord God himself because he's given us his spirit to allow us to stand here. So stand your ground. How are we doing against the ferocity of his threats when he comes after our very heart? And make no mistake, brethren, the experience with Sister Tricia, it broke my heart. And it was one of the hardest things I've ever gone through. There were other family experiences that were hard, but God's providence led us through. In contrast, you know, we're talking about how ferocious Satan is and how powerful he is and how much he wants to intimidate you so you can be devoured. Let's contrast that, okay? Rather than ferocious threats, let's look at how Jesus approaches all of humanity. And take a deep breath and relax here because this is all good. In Matthew 11, verse 28, Jesus says, and he's really talking to anyone who's listening, come to me all who are weary and heavy laden. I will give you rest. There's no roar. There's no threat. There's no fear. If you are weary and you're heavy laden, come to me. This is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. While Satan may roar at us over the deepest matters of our hearts, Jesus beckons us to come to him for rest from the deepest matters of our hearts. So Satan will roar so the deepest matters of our hearts can turn bad. And Jesus wants to help us hold and take those deepest matters of our hearts and hold them for us. Stand your ground. Do not let the roar, the lion's roar, derail you because you're hurting of your hurting heart. Rather, stand disciplined in the grace of God, knowing he supplies all of our needs. So we can be derailed by the roar, or we can be disciplined to stand with Christ. The roar is still going to come. What are we going to do with it? Our second experience. And we're going to go to our 1 Peter scripture, verse 6, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God as a theme for this second experience. Our second Lion's Roar experience began in May of 2018, about 2.5 years after the robbery. Robberies, plural. Now, Handen, Connecticut, where we live, is not known for severe weather. However, in May of 2018, a tornado came through our town and more specifically through our yard. I had just gotten home and a severe weather warning was flashing on my phone. And as soon as Sister Tricia got home, I sent her downstairs with the dogs. And, you know, and I also sent her downstairs with my two laptops for Christian questions. It's like, take your wife, take the dogs, and take the Christian question stuff and go downstairs and be safe. And I'm very curious with weather. I like storms. I was watching the storm. I didn't know it was going to be a tornado. But no more than 3 minutes after Sister Tricia got home and went downstairs, I ran to the basement because I heard trees snapping, just breaking like little twigs in this ferocious wind. And I thought, nah, this is not something I'll watch. And I ran downstairs. Well, the bottom line is within about 3 or 4 minutes, there were trees down everywhere. And it was gone. It came and it went. They fell all around the house, but nothing fell on the house. I mean, literally, it's in front and this side and on that side. It just, and so you look at that and say, okay. We went outside to assess the damage, and there were about 20 trees that were ruined. Two of them were massive pine trees, you know, trunks like about this big around, about 100 feet tall. and they fell directly over our driveway. Okay, so we were not only spared, but we were landlocked now. We couldn't get out. But they fell right where Sister Tricia had driven in 3 minutes before. So understand these things, and when I tell you they fell on the driveway, the trunks were right next to the driveway, so anything that was under them would have been crushed to about this size. Because there's no stopping a force like that here. So you look at it and say, okay, but nothing really happened. I mean, the house is intact. She was with me. We're good. We lost power for about 8 days. Cleanup took months. But hey, we're fine. So no one's hurt. So what's the problem? Well, brethren, the problem is, what do we do with that? And what happens inside of us? This time, Satan's roar was focused on my home. The first time it was focused on my heart, my wife. And this time it was focused on my home. And again, these are very personal experiences for me. Well, God's providence steered the falling trees, and I believe that. And the timing, I believe that. Satan surely was attempting his own steering and his own timing. If he couldn't keep Sister Tricia in a permanent PTSD state, then what better way to take us out of service than to damage our home or to take my wife out beneath a fallen tree? Looking back on these things, brethren, it becomes personal. And you say, wait a minute. God's providence permitted it to happen. But what do we do in our minds with what happens? Do we allow Satan's intimidation to make it into a tragedy rather than a trial? Or do we take it in stride as we go and continue to serve the Lord? Sometimes Satan's roar is aimed at our security, the security of our home, the central source of our human needs and stability. Sometimes that source is protected and we're merely suffering inconvenience. That's what happened to us. However, other times, for others, and we know this has happened to brethren, that source may be destroyed and leave them entirely vulnerable. That happens. Either way, the question is always, am I humbly keeping all of my true security in God through Christ? Is that where my real, true, bottom line security is? Because Satan will roar loud enough to get you to forget that and look at what you potentially have lost. 1 Peter 5:6, again, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you in the proper time. It's easy to take our earthly sources of security for granted. You know, you go home, you unlock the door, you go in, and everything's the way it is. What if it was taken away? Satan knows how easy it is to take things for granted. And the ferocity of this roar can sometimes be focused on redirecting our attention toward the preservation or replacement of things rather than keeping the most important thing the most important thing. Our fear and loss is now positioned to compromise our spiritual security. Satan's roar lurks in the experiences of all of our lives. Stand your ground. For the ground on which you stand is holy. The ferocity of Satan's roar can easily make us forget that the work in which we are engaged in is holy. And make no mistake, brethren, the work that you do, whether it's going to a job, raising children, whatever it is, that work is holy because you are sanctified. And all of the work of our lives should be dedicated to our Father, whatever mundane task you may think it is. The ferocity of Satan's roar can easily make us forget that these works are holy, and we need to hold on to that. So whether we've lost everything or not, and we did not, how do we view our experiences? Well, let's look at Philippians 3:8 for a moment. Paul says, more than that, I count all things to be lost in view of the surpassing value of the knowledge of Christ, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them but rubbish, so that I may gain Christ. That's the perspective. And whether we actually lose them or not is not the point. In our heart, are we attached or focused on the higher things? In contrast to the ferocity of Satan's roars of threats and destruction, let's go back to Jesus and his inviting us to him. Let's go back to Matthew 11 again. And again, you get into the intensity of the experience, and now we get to sit back and take a breath and rejoice. Matthew 11, the first part of verse 29, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and I am humble in heart. And Brother Mike, in his prayer, mentioned being yoke fellows with Christ, and I really appreciated hearing that, because this scripture is in the middle of this whole lesson. While Satan roars to intimidate us regarding our earthly security, Jesus calls us to work alongside of him in the holy work that he himself was called to do. Be a yoke fellow with Jesus. How much more secure can you get than being tied to Jesus in the yoke of the work of the gospel, brethren? That's where our perspective needs to be. Stand your ground. Do not let the lion's roar disengage you through your interrupted security. Rather, remain dedicated to continue serving your Holy Father, who is truly the provider of your ultimate security. So we can let the roar disengage us, or we can remain dedicated. Our third experience. And this is taking 1 Peter 5, verse 8, be of sober spirit. Our third lion's roar experience began in August of 2020, about 2 years and 3 months after the tornado. Now, I mentioned to you that where we live is no tornado alley. Yeah, think again. I was sitting in my office on a Thursday afternoon when a severe weather warning came again on my phone. So I elected to go home because our little dogs, we have two little dogs, they get really freaked out with thunder. I thought I just better go home so they don't, you know. So I went home. 15 minutes after I got home, I received a phone call. You better get back here. So I went back to my office and, yep, you know what's coming, right? another tornado came through Hamden. But this tornado only damaged two buildings, just two. My office was on the third floor of the building, which was the top floor. And when I came back up the street, the thick, heavy aluminum roof of the building was literally rolled up and out in the middle of the road. And so I went up to my office, and I walked in, and it's just... It's wet and all of, and I'm sloshing through across the office. I have about 1,000 square feet with a meeting room and offices for the people that work with me and all of this. And I'm sloshing across the floor and I look up and my face gets wet and I say, I'm still the most blessed person I know. And I meant it, because Lord takes care of us. But this was not something I would have expected, especially two tornadoes in a couple of years. Needless to say, everything's ruined, but having the ability to look at that and say, you know what? God's got this. So first, for my personal experience, Satan came after my heart, my wife. Second, he came after my home, my security. And now his roar focused on my livelihood. If he couldn't keep my wife in a permanent PTSD state, if he couldn't mess up our home or crush my wife, then he would surely scare me by ruining my livelihood. The rebuild of the office space took about 9 months, and in the meantime, the Lord provided a little tiny office room to work out of in the basement of the building, which worked out very well, very crowded, but worked out very well, and the Lord provided for us. Satan sometimes aims his roar at the source of our earthly livelihood. This roar can be particularly frightening, as our ability to support ourselves is at the heart of our ability often to serve God. So now sometimes, brethren, we have protections that can keep us going or ways to temporarily plug the holes. And we did. My landlord was wonderful with this experience. But other times we may end up losing everything as a result. And we know brethren who have had that happen. And it's important to look at those experiences and say, it doesn't always work out where you can recover. Sometimes it ends up a permanent difficulty, a permanent trial. But here's the question. However it ends up, the question is always the same. Am I, with a sober spirit, facing the disruptive and financial challenges before me, knowing that the very hairs of my head are numbered? How am I facing it? What is happening on the inside? Am I being overwhelmed by the roar? Or am I keeping the trial just an experience within the providence of God? Be sober of spirit. This is the theme for this part. According to Thayer's lexicon, to be sober of spirit is to be calm and collected in spirit, to be temperate, dispassionate, and circumspect. It means that we have a clear direction for our focus. While we must dedicate ourselves to addressing our livelihood challenges, we must never lose sight of our true vocation, our true direction in life. Brethren, the very hairs of your head are all numbered, whatever, wherever the roar comes about. Satan's roar lurks in the experiences of all of your lives. Make no mistake. Stand your ground. For the ground on which we stand is holy. The ferocity of Satan's roar can easily make us forget that the works of our hands are to support the works of holiness in our lives. Let me repeat that. The works of our hands are there to support the works of holiness in our lives. And in contrast to all of the threats and all the ferocity and the roar, let's look at how Jesus calms our lives. Now remember, Jesus is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And here's how he treats his people. Matthew 11, verse 29, the second half. The first part was, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. And then Jesus says, and you will find rest for your souls. Rest in the middle of the destruction of a tornado or whatever it is, you can still have rest for your souls. While Satan's roars to instill serious doubt when the security of our livelihood is either threatened or interrupted, Jesus promises us that working alongside of him will give rest to our souls. And again, brethren, it's experiences like this where the brotherhood can be such a valuable resource to help us and hold us and build us up and take care of us. We need to be able to be vulnerable enough to lean on one another. Stand your ground. Do not let this roar distract you through major livelihood disruption. Rather, remain determined to rest in Jesus and clearly focus on the big picture of God's providence unfolding for your highest benefit. Brethren, we are tried severely for our highest benefit. Satan will take the vulnerability of that trial and he will instill fear and the desire to run, to try to take what that trial is for and turn it into a tragedy. Think on these things. Our final experience. We'll be focusing on beyond the alert, verse 8 of 1 Peter 5. Our fourth Lion's Roar experience began January of 2022. And yeah, that was 2 months ago. About 1 year and 4 months after the tornado, the second tornado, Sister Tricia and I were both having some non-COVID related but bronchial issues. One doctor told us he thought we had pneumonia. We were just having trouble. Unbeknownst to me, I had other issues going on as well, with blood clots forming in my legs and traveling up to my lungs. Though I didn't know it at the time, this was due to having had COVID back in March of 2021. There is, just by way of public service announcement, for those of us who have had COVID, there is a propensity to develop blood clots after. I didn't know, but I really do know now. Due to our current bronchial issues that we were going through, the blood clots were not detected. I didn't think about them. I finished the antibiotics that we were on, and I was still struggling to breathe. It wasn't terrible, but I was struggling, especially while talking. Now, just let that sink in for a moment, okay? So Sister Tricia knew something was wrong. And I'm saying, look, they gave me a new inhaler. Don't worry about it. I'll be fine. And just, she's like, no, there's something wrong with you. And well, she said that for other reasons, but we won't go there. But it was after the January 24th podcast, Christian Questions, which incidentally was titled, Is God Happy With My Attitude? Okay, that was the title of that podcast. It was on the Beatitudes. And Sister Tricia was very concerned. And she called our daughter Emily, who's an APRN, and said, you know, Emily, there's something drastically wrong with me. Well, she called before the podcast. I actually said, don't call Emily because I need to do my podcast. Well, she did anyway. And Emily had me wear an oximeter on my finger doing the whole podcast, and it was fine. The blood oxygen level was fine. So she gets on the phone because I said, see, it's good. And she gets on the phone with Emily again, and Emily says, no, Dad, you have to walk around the house. So I did. And I was fine. So then Sister Tricia says, okay, go up and downstairs. And I'm like, sure, watch this. And I did. And I collapsed almost. I mean, my blood oxygen level just dropped like a rock. So Emily says, go to the emergency room. You probably have clots on your lungs, okay? To make a very long story much shorter, while in the hospital, they reviewed the condition, and one of the doctors basically said to me, another week and you would just arbitrarily pass out. You were on your way. The blockages were severe enough, where one lung was pretty much shut down, and the other was riddled and just ready to go. So there it was. And so now I'm sitting in a hospital bed, completely feeling fine, incidentally, but sitting in a hospital bed, having come this close. Satan's roar this time was very, very personal. It was all about my own body being set up to attack my own life due to specific circumstances. If he couldn't bury my wife under PTSD or a tree or mess up my home or ruin my livelihood, then he certainly can get me off the course of the gospel by turning my body's reactions against me. This is how Satan's roar works. The trials we have are ordered by our Father, but he'll take them and try to twist them to become tragedies. For many of us, Satan's roar, he aims his roar at our physical beings. And I know that many of you, brethren, have this very experience and are having it right now. This roar can be upsetting on the deepest of levels, as it can cause us to see how fragile and terminal our lives can be. When we look at life through the eyes of its end, and sitting in the hospital bed, I was thinking about dying a lot because they told me you came this close. When thinking of it, looking at your eyes and seeing it through the eyes of the end, the capacity for regret and insecurity and fear can dramatically escalate all of those things escalate. And all of that creates the liability to be devoured by the adversary. Sometimes we have cures and treatments that can bring us back to health and full energy. And that's what happened to me. Other times, brethren, and you know this, other times these issues can lead to years of pain and suffering and the end of your course. You all know this. The question, though, whether you are able to recover or not is always the same. Am I with an alert heart and mind facing the physical issues, knowing that God's grace and blessing will never leave me as long as I persevere? Because no matter what the pain, no matter what the suffering, God's grace is with us. Am I focusing on that, or is the roar so loud it's making me forget? Be on the alert. To be on the alert is to be vigilant, which means to be awake and giving strict attention. That's what it means to be on the alert. We talked about that yesterday. This implies that we remain focused on the most important thing, which is our call to sacrifice, while handling everything else. Let the most important thing remain the most important thing. This can be hard when it's our own body that the trial is working in. Satan's roar lurks in these experiences in all of our lives. And you know what I'm going to say, right? Stand your ground. For the ground on which we stand, it is holy. It is sanctified. The ferocity of Satan's roar can easily make us forget that our bodies are temples of God's Holy Spirit. We belong to him and to his holy work. Don't let Satan's roar intimidate you out of that reality. In contrast, Jesus says in Matthew 11:30, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. While Satan's roar can amplify our physical challenges, Jesus' message is simply that he will never leave us or forsake us. Yet his yoke, brethren, fits our lives. His burden is not heavy, but blessed. Stand your ground. Do not let the lion's roar devour you through the physical maladies of life. Rather, remain devout and you're working alongside of our Lord Jesus, knowing that every ounce of physical strength is sanctified to the very end of our course. And if pain and suffering brings us to the end of our course, praise God for that, because it's his providence that gives us the glory afterwards. In conclusion, resist Satan's war. All of us as a body working together, resist Satan's war. 1 Peter 5:10-11, after you have suffered for a little while, providence says suffering is important and necessary and valuable. So after you withstood the roars of the adversary, after you've held each other up and served our Lord Jesus and each other in the most holy work of your lives, the scripture continues, the God of all grace who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, that is the Almighty Father himself who created the magnificent plan of salvation and invited you to it, that's what it's talking about, will himself, listen to this now, this makes me shiver, will himself perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. Remember at the beginning, we talked about what Satan said to Jesus. All of this dominion is mine. Well, in this verse, after it says he will perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you, it says in verse 11, to him, to God Almighty, be dominion forever and ever. It is God's dominion. That's what this is about. We stand in the strength of God and his spirit through Christ here and now, because this world is being taken from Satan and he wants to scare you. How does it end? Here's how it ends. And this scripture, I'm telling you, brother, this discourse has been a very emotional experience for me, because it helps me understand how important you all are to me and how important our work is. Final scripture, Romans 16:20. The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. Think about that. He will soon crush Satan under your feet. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with you. What the apostle is saying is that Satan's reign ends under the feet members of Jesus. He roars to distract and dissuade and disarm you. But the scripture says he will be crushed under the saints' feet. Brethren, stand your ground.